Hello and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us to our YouTube America TV audience and our Biz Talk Radio audience. Glad to have you along for the hour. A few subjects we will be hitting on, including, we've been hearing about this for months and years, but there are again new limits on e-cigarettes and those flavors that are so very attractive to young and old, really. But the FDA says they've already caused epidemic use among young people, and they are doing something about it. We will chat about that with one of our guests in just a few minutes. Vincent Hill will be here to talk about Jussie Smollett, who is off the hook. Vincent is the author of these books, and he is a commentator and political expert on the Law and Crime Trial Network. But apparently with the city of Chicago, he's off the hook, says the state's attorney, for staging allegedly a fake hate crime against himself. We'll talk about this and see it. We'll also talk about there might be some federal charges, too, that could be coming down the pike. With Tom Del Pecora, we will hit on the political headlines of the day. He is the author of The Divided Era and the purveyor of politicalvanguard.com. Also, he commentates on Fox and Fox News. We will talk to Tom about one big news bit from today. The U.S. House has failed to override a Trump veto, Trump's first veto ever. The Democratic-controlled House handed Trump this victory in his effort to spend billions more for constructing barriers along our southwest border. He is trying to keep us safe. So this is from when he declared a national emergency several days back. The vote in the House now, 248 to 181, not a two-thirds majority is needed. President Trump vetoed the bill that would have ended his national emergency March 15th. The Democrats' failure to pass the bill through Congress means the battle over this national emergency will likely move to the courts. So stay tuned. We'll also talk about the Mueller report. The investigation is over, but there are still so many questions. The special counsel released his long-awaited report Friday after 2 years of investigations, millions and millions spent, people calling it a witch hunt, including President Trump, saying no president should ever have to go through this. So after this 2 years and everything else, the conclusion, no collusion. More on this ahead. And a big surprise in the news today, all charges dropped against Empire actor Jussie Smollett, whom Chicago police arrested for allegedly faking hate crimes against himself. Police and the mayor, Rahm Emanuel, you might recognize him, are irate. The state's attorney, Kim Fox, who had recused herself from the investigation last month, just popped up and made the surprise announcement today, Tuesday. Smollett himself is saying he is innocent of all crimes, and so he's just hanging on to that. Police say he staged an attack on himself, hiring two brothers because he was unhappy with his salary, wanted attention, yada, yada, yada. The mayor, then the CPD superintendent, did speak today.
So listen, I'm sure we all know what occurred this morning. My personal opinion is that you all know where I stand on this. Do I think justice was served? No. Where do I think justice is? I think this city is still owed an apology. And let me digress for a moment. When I came on this job, I've been a cop now for about 31 years. When I came on this job, I came on with my honor, my integrity, and my reputation. If someone accused me of doing anything that would circumvent that, then I would want my day in court, period, to clear my name. I've heard that they wanted their day in court with TV cameras so America could know the truth, but no, they chose to hide behind secrecy and broker a deal to circumvent the judicial system. My job as a police officer is to investigate an incident, gather evidence, gather facts, and present them to the state's attorney. That's what we did. I stand behind the detective's investigation. I'll let Mary Emanuel comment further.
One thing is not only do I support the hard work of our police officers, the defective units, but I'd like to remind everybody a grand jury indicted this individual based on only a piece of the evidence.
It was just announced there was no collusion with Russia, the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There was no collusion with Russia. There was no obstruction and none whatsoever. And it was a complete and total exoneration. It's a shame that our country had to go through this. To be honest, it's a shame that your president has had to go through this before I even got elected. It began. And it began illegally. And hopefully somebody's going to look at the other side. This was an illegal takedown that failed.
We are just going to get right into it because I've been dying to talk to Tom Del Beccaro of Political Vanguard and the author of The Divided Era. He has such a rich history with history, and he's looked back at how we've succeeded and failed at coming together or not coming together. Here is his site, Political Vanguard, you can check every day. Very active on social media. You can follow him there. And also, we're proud to say that, oh boy, he's a contributor to Fox News and Fox Business now. So, Tom, glad you had time for us. We really appreciate you coming on. And you're a lawyer, so you can dissect all this stuff that's going on.
Yeah, let's get straight to it. For 2 years, the Democrats had all their chips on collusion. Many in the media had all their chips on collusion. And Mueller said not only wasn't there collusion, but the Russians offered help and it was turned down. So it's really hard to say anything but this was a vindication of the president. It was an exoneration of the president. And it's really hard not to say that the Democrats lost a ton here of credibility because CNN, MSNBC, and the Democrats said there's all this evidence of it in plain sight, on and on and on. So this places them in a credibility light. Now, Robert Mueller has known for some time that there wasn't collusion. It's a good question to ask him when he knew it. Because if he knew it before what he did to Roger Stone, then he engaged in prosecutorial misconduct.
Okay, Tom, can we just pause a second and say Roger Stone was an affiliate of President Trump's, helped him sort of get elected. He's one of these, he's sort of a gadfly Republican guy. He went around and he went and tried to get DNA from Chelsea Clinton to prove that she was Webb Hubble's daughter and not President Clinton. So he does these things. But a few weeks back, they sent all kinds of armored cars and FBI officials to his house in the middle of the night to grab him up. So let's just remind people of what's happened to him now, Tom?
Well, he's facing indictment for lying to Mueller's investigatory team. Now, if Mueller knew 5 months ago there was no collusion, there was no reason for him to carry on with Roger Stone. And that would be prosecutorial misconduct. Also,
would it really? How is Mueller, that? Can you explain that a little more for people who are lay people?
Because there's really no reason to have gone after Stone in the manner in which he did to put him through all of the questioning if Mueller knew in advance of that questioning that Stone was irrelevant at this point, that he knew Mueller knew that there was no collusion. But we're going to have to see that timeline. Then there is the issue of Mueller pulling a Comey. You remember in July of 2017, Comey went on air, told everybody all the bad deeds that Hillary did, but said, but we're not going to, we're going to recommend that she doesn't get indicted. The recommendation is not his role, nor was going on TV and discussing it. Prosecutors either recommend, or in this case, the FBI should have only made a recommendation based on its facts, and that was it. Mueller, as prosecutor, should either prosecute or not. But in this case on collusion, he said he can't make a decision because there's some facts that could imply that and others that don't. And of course, Rosenstein and Barr said it wasn't. But what Mueller has done is given the Democrats enough breathing space so that they can continue to investigate. And that's probably what they're going to do, continue to investigate. Until, and we can talk about the until in a moment, but at the end of the day, the Democrats told everyone there was collusion. MSNBC, CNN went all in, and I mean all in on it, and there wasn't. And now Trump gets to crow about the fact that there wasn't, and the Democrats have lost credibility.
Yeah, today he said he loved the Mueller report. It was a great Mueller report. So after 2 years of investigations, 2,800 subpoenas, 19 lawyers, 40 FBI agents, 500 search warrants, 230 orders from communication records, 50 orders authorizing the use of pen registers, which I'm sure is some fancy law term that you understand, and after interviewing 500 witnesses. Yeah, and Charlie Kirk's always good to remind us of all this. There is no collusion, and that's what this, the basis of all this, some Russian collusion. Trump is a Russian agent, so now they're saying, well, Mueller must be, and there are all these fancy memes floating around, Tom. And if for anyone who had time Friday night to watch MSNBC, CNN, any mainstream media, it looked like a wake. And there were, again, with the memes, all these memes of Rachel Maddow floating around crying. Because of this, and them trying to sort out and do common core math or something to make it seem like, well, even though they say there wasn't collusion, maybe there was somehow.
Yeah. I mean, you had Jerry Nadler saying that Barr could be covering up if he doesn't produce the report. The problem was, and maybe Trump designed this, Trump drove Mueller into the arms of the Democrats. They embraced him, said, wanted to pass laws protecting him, creating Saint Mueller. And he's not a saint, he never has been, and I don't even think he's that good. If he was a good prosecutor, he would have picked a balanced team. But we can talk about that at a different point. At this point, you got to keep in mind this very important fact, which is that I think, or maybe it's not a fact, it's an opinion. I think Trump drove Mueller into the Democrats' arms on purpose because he knew there was no such collusion. And as a result, the Democrats embraced him. They can't unembrace him. They really have nowhere to go. Now let's talk about until, because Jerry Nadler's going to keep going despite the calls for Adam Schiff to resign. He won't. He'll keep going. People ask me, when is it going to stop? And it's going to stop when the congressional candidates say this is hurting us in the polls and you could lose the House.
Oh, when they see it's hurting them. All right. Tom, we got to hit a break, but we're going to come right back with you. The Mueller report is out. The investigation is sort of over. Who could believe it? We thought this would be going on till 2030 or 40 when Barron Trump was president. Back with Tom Del Beccaro after this here on America Trends. We're back here on America Trends here on the YouTube America TV network and on BizTalk Radio. And we have our political analyst for the show, Tom Del Beccaro. He is the author of The Divided Era and the purveyor of PoliticalVanguard.com. You'll see him everywhere, including Fox and Fox News, all the time, all the livelong day. So we're glad he has time for us as well. Tom, you used to be the head of the Republican Party in California. So when we talk about this border crisis, you know that it really is a crisis. It's not just talking points and hyperbole from President Trump. So the House today failed to override his veto. That's a whole big thing. So I want to chat with you about that and what it could really mean for our national security, because we have so many tens of thousands coming in every month. But first, there it is. Trump's national emergency declaration for a border wall survives after the House failed to override that veto. It's Trump's first veto ever. And the House vote today, Tuesday, if you're watching on the first iteration of America Trends, 248 to 181, not the two-thirds majority needed. Are you surprised that they failed to override that veto, Tom?
No, not in the least. And of course, the Senate wouldn't have gotten close either. And the reason why is because there's the House districts are there are 41 Democrats that are in brand new seats. And this is a risk for some of them to be voting on this. It's a risk for Democrats in general to be voting against border security, notwithstanding what Beto O'Rourke and some of their leaders say. So I never expected this, but I do expect a lawsuit to be filed now that this is done, and the lawsuit will essentially say that emergency declarations should only be used in the absence of congressional action. And we'll see how far this can go. Of course, the other side of this coin and story was the Defense Department has released, I think, $1 billion towards the wall as part of its drug enforcement efforts, which, quite frankly, that's what it is in my mind. National security and drug enforcement are the two most important issues, which, frankly, all Americans agree on. So I think it should be the lead for this kind of spending and appeals by the president. But no, so I'm not surprised it was overrided. It wasn't overrided. I do think it'll end up in court, but in the meantime, I think it'll go forward for now until a Ninth Circuit judge says no.
Yeah, a Ninth Circuit judge, of course. So again, the Democrat House handing Trump this victory. It would have ended the national emergency from March 15th. And as you say, the failure to get it through Congress will likely mean it will end up in the courts somewhere. So we'll just see what happens. It's not over yet. It's never really over. But this does go back. If we could just back up, this all happened earlier this year with the government shutdown for a few days. And the government had a partial government shutdown. And Trump was trying to get, what is it, $8 billion to build the wall and to secure everything. But Tom, as you say, besides the drug problem, there's a huge human trafficking problem. And even if they're not specifically involved in human trafficking, these people who want to come here, you know, there are women and children who want to come here who really do want to have a better life, and others who want to come here to maybe do us ill will. We don't know. That's the problem. We don't know who's coming in. But besides the people who are literally being human trafficked, the humanitarian crisis also consists of women and children knowing that they will either be raped. Sorry to be very blunt, but this is what's happening. Raped or trading sex to get up here by the coyotes, the people who would bring them here. So there are a lot of elements to this and a lot of things I feel the Democrats are ignoring.
No, I think they're using. I think the Democrats are using this to try and curry favor with voters. There's no question that what's going around the southern border is catastrophic in many degrees. I mean, how many people have to die from fentanyl? How many sex slaves need to be traded? How many of these things need to go on? The answer should be, I remember when President Trump during a gun crisis said, if we could save one life, okay, how about we just try and save 200,000 lives along the border in the next couple of years? So yes, this is, and we know this, they all voted for this under Obama, and now they're all against it. That's the nature of the divided era. Whatever my guy's for, I'm for, and whatever your guy's for, I'm against. That's where the Democrats are. Republicans aren't necessarily that bad, but they tried to block Obama, everything he did, almost everything he did as well, much of it deserved. But that's where we are today.
Yeah, people forget other presidents did do this. They tried to also keep us secure. We do have a win from the Supreme Court last week that said regarding President Trump's asylum, this yearning to not have so many people here seeking asylum where they can just wander off. And in the past few weeks, we've really been getting direct reports from border cities, including San Diego, some in Texas, of hundreds and hundreds of illegals per day in various cities just being dropped off by ICE at Catholic charities, homeless shelters, bus stations. They're just being dropped off because they come here and they claim asylum. There's nowhere to put them. They give them a court date. This has been going on for years. And hope for the best. Hope that they will come back. So there's no available space to house these people. And it's going on. And every day you can see more and more of these illegals who come here and commit further crimes someone bit off a finger of an ICE agent last week in New York and Bill de Blasio's territory and, you know, his sanctuary issues. Go ahead, Tom. Sorry.
Yeah, this is, they not only advertise this in Central America, but and mislead people as to what rights they have. But but on the world scale, the Democrats are all for this. And so they're encouraging this kind of thing. And I don't think that sits well for them. Neither does this new Green Deal sit well for them either. They're going to have presidential candidates pushing that. But we saw in the Senate today that was murdered by a vote where 57 senators voted against it, including four Democrats. And then the gutless Democrats, 43 of them voted present on the issue. So even though Ocasio-Cortez is pushing the agenda for the Democrats, they're too gutless to even vote on the issue.
So our young Congresswoman, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, who people aren't really sure she even lives in the district she's supposed to be representing. That's been a huge question. And she of countless memes. But this is her Green New Deal. I got to tell you, it's a pretty good name. If she had a branding expert in, they probably said, yeah, it's a good name. People are falling for it. But this is a big deal. What happened today, Tom?
It is, because this places the Democrat presidential candidates to the outside of their party, meaning they're farther left than the rank and file of the party, and trying to put the Democrats on record, and they're not willing to stand up for it. What are they willing to stand up for? Apparently, illegality along the border, calling William Barr, saying that he might be part of a cover-up. All these sort of negative issues now are attaching towards the Democrats.
Infanticide, too, Tom. Let's
really
not forget
bad...
that. Infanticide has been huge in the past several weeks, and no one's really standing up against it in the Democratic Party.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of what positive message they have going for them into this election. And given that the central selling point on why Trump was evil was collusion is gone away, they really need to regroup. But in about 80 days, when the debates start, everything's going to be different. And we're going to see really a circus with 20 people on stage. I don't know how that's going to be handled over a couple of debates. And the stories will all be different then.
10 seconds, Tom. But people are saying if there's no front runner for the Democrats by this fall, Hillary might jump in. Do you still think it's Kamala Harris at the head of the pack?
No, I think Kamala Harris will be the vice presidential nominee and Bernie Sanders is going to win.
Bernie Sanders.
Can get that article at politicalvanguard.com and video of me on Fox News talking about it.
Check him out and follow him on social media. Tom Del Beccaro, thank you so much.
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
It's been 24 hours, I need more.
Once again, e-cigarettes, the flavored fancy ones, are coming under fire from people all around and the FDA this time. And they really are doing something that sort of, well, it has a lasting impression. The FDA is setting limits on retail sales of flavored e-cigarettes. And some health experts are disagreeing with banning the flavors. And we're so glad tonight to have our guest, Dr. Joel Nitzkin. He's a public health physician, board certified in preventative medicine, medical specialty in New Orleans, been a local health director, state health director, and president of two national public health organizations. And he's been a strong advocate for tobacco harm reduction, respected voice in this arena. And Dr. Nitzkin, welcome to America Trends. So this happened just a few days back. The FDA, the outgoing director, saying we need to start banning these. Do you agree with him in any way, shape, or form, or what are your thoughts on all this?
No, I don't agree with him. I think that he's heading in the wrong direction. I think the real problem is that cigarettes kill people. Mm-hmm. E-cigarettes are a relatively safe substitute. And if we can get people who would otherwise smoke get to use e-cigarettes, they would cut their risk of potentially fatal cigarette-related illness by 95% or more. And they would find them much easier to quit than cigarettes. I think e-cigarettes are not risk-free. I think they need to be regulated to assure the quality and consistency of the products. I think we need to have honest, accurate communication to teens and adults alike. But I think the current FDA proposed policy is basically misguided.
So this is a proposal. When could it possibly happen? And then we'll get back to talking about the other stuff. Is this like, where does it stand right now, Dr. Nitzkin?
Well, where it stands right now is FDA is painting a picture by which they say they're facing an emergency situation and they need to act fast. In an emergency situation, they could probably act within a matter of months. Now, certain one element of what they're proposing makes a lot of sense, but they don't have the legal authority to implement it themselves. That is changing the age of purchase from 18 to 21. Hmm. But eliminating the products from the market, or eliminating the fruit and candy flavors, are steps in the wrong direction.
Yeah, and a lot of people, gosh, it is such a complex issue, because you have, they do say that there's a teen epidemic. Maybe they want to grab onto these flavors, and maybe they wouldn't have smoked or had e-cigarettes at all had they not seen these fruity, exciting flavors, maybe. You probably have a better grasp of the numbers you can share with us. But the adults, too, like these fancy things. You know, they like whatever to do the flavors they want. We're adults. We're consenting adults. We can do what we want. So when the FDA starts coming around and giving us more government, it doesn't sit well with a lot of people. But they do say these flavors are fueling an epidemic of teen use. So any comments on all of that, Doctor?
It's not the flavors that are fueling what's called an epidemic. Mm. First of all, it's not really an epidemic. What we're having is lots of hype about e-cigarettes and lots of kids experimenting with them. Mm-hmm. The number of kids who are non-smokers who continue use of e-cigarettes is tiny, probably less than 1%. But all these kids are experimenting with them, and the tobacco control authorities see experimentation as initiation of use, and they never look further to see how many really follow through. I mean, teenagers will be teenagers. They're going to experiment with stuff whether we like it or not, and they're going to engage in some risky behavior. That's something I don't think we can stop. But banning e-cigarettes, or banning the flavors that make them so effective for smoking cessation in adults, is going to do more harm than good. Let me stop for a second and look at the adult situation. Adults, when they start using e-cigarettes, generally start off with a tobacco or menthol flavor, similar to the flavor of the cigarettes that they've been using.
Yeah.
But fairly quickly, they transition to a fruit or candy flavor. And once they make that transition, they no longer seek the taste of the tobacco. And it's the dislike of the taste of the tobacco that keeps them from relapsing. With the patches and gums and the pharmaceutical cessation products, they're available in all the fruit and candy flavors, but treatment is only for 12 weeks. And the problem isn't getting people to quit in the first place. The problem is getting them not to relapse when the urge to smoke returns. That's what the flavors do in the adult population. Hmm. Now, for the kids, they're attracted to them because they're cool, because it's the latest thing that they can do. And they may pick the one that they choose to use on the basis of flavors. But I don't think any kid chooses to try an e-cigarette because it's got a candy or fruit flavor.
Talking to Dr. Joel Niskin about these e-cigarettes and the FDA's push to sort of ban them. And some states like California and Minnesota have already made municipal laws that have gone into effect to ban retail sales of all flavored tobacco products. And as you say, some of these flavors are important for people trying to switch to alternatives and segue into something new. And you talk about these unintended consequences these bans might have. So apparently there's this thing called the Stopping Appealing Flavors in E-Cigarettes for Kids Act. Long, unwieldy name, but that's the name. Do you think this could actually do anything? But as you say, you think the kids will be messing around with that anyway. And Doc, you probably know that if they're playing with e-cigarettes, they might not be dealing with harsher drugs like marijuana, heroin, who knows?
Well, a lot of the vaping is vaping marijuana.
Oh, I see. Okay.
A lot of the vaping in teens, especially by non-smoking teens, is vaping with flavors only, no active ingredient, no nicotine, and no marijuana or anything else. The idea that most e-cigarettes that kids experiment with contain nicotine is simply wrong. And the data that it's wrong is from federal government survey data that somehow FDA and many of the states and the people in California tend to forget.
About 30 seconds, but can you tell us, what is your best case scenario? Where would you like things to stand? Just be able to sell and let businesses do what they're going to do and let kids and adults smoke what they want to smoke? Or what do you think as a doctor with all the background that you have in this?
Well, I think we should give people honest and accurate information. These products are a lot less hazardous and a lot less addictive than cigarettes, mm-hmm. but they are not risk-free. And I think the people that are out there and listening are smart enough to take a little more complicated message. I also think that trying to ban products when you don't do anything to reduce the demand for it is just going to create a black market of totally uncontrolled product, which is going to be the worst of all possibilities.
That'll have to be the last word. Dr. Joel Niskin, got a hard break. We're back after this. Since the end of January, all we've been hearing about was this big assault on Jussie Smollett by a couple of guys in MAGA hats on a cold January night, perhaps early evening, in the middle of the polar vortex, some minus 40 degrees it was when he said people came and assaulted him. As of today, the state's attorney in Illinois, Kim Fox, has dropped all 16 charges against Jussie Smollett, the actor from Empire. Police arrested him for allegedly faking these hate crimes against himself. And there is just so much to go along with this. This took police resources, incited racial tensions. He said he'd been attacked by two white guys. And then later, two brothers who were actually from Nigeria told police that Smollett paid them to stage the assault. So he was charged with making false statements to police because they say the police think he was unhappy with his salary, his big fat Hollywood salary for Empire, and he wanted attention. So we are so pleased to bring back with us private investigator and author Vincent Hill. He is one of the anchors for the Law and Crime Network, and he follows a lot of these big cases, true crime cases all around the country. Vincent, I'll bet you were pretty surprised to see this come down today. Police, and I know Mayor Rahm Emanuel of Chicago, were very surprised.
Amy, I got to tell you, I'm going to use it all, pun intended, smell it. It smells like crap. The fact that this prosecutor dropped the charges against Jussie Smollett today was a surprise and a travesty, in my opinion, to the city of Chicago and to the city of Chicago police and all the hard work that they did to get to the bottom of what happened. Because like you said at the opener here, this caused so much racial division. This caused so much tension in an already politically and racially divided country. So the fact that this prosecutor dropped these charges, Amy, the only one question I have is, what was her cut? Because what else would make her drop these charges? 16 counts of filing false police report to just, we don't care. You're an outstanding member of the community. You've done community service in your X amount of years here in Chicago. So that is a free pass to get away with what he did. Unacceptable.
Well, there are a lot of conspiracy theories floating around, and I hate to even use that term, because when you say conspiracy theories, it sounds like some sort of nano alien type, UFO followers. But there are conspiracy theories sometimes because the truth actually follows. So what they're saying now is George Soros donated $408,000 to Kim Fox, the prosecutor in the Smollett case. And there's been a lot of talk about this. There's been talk about whom he's related to in Chicago, within the city and within some of the prosecutorial departments. But the thing I want to ask you directly that we can look at and see some hard facts, I think, is this Kim Fox. A month ago, she recused herself from the case altogether. So what's she even doing here?
Right, exactly. What is she doing here? She did recuse herself. So why is she now involved in this case? And to do that without consulting with the men and women, the police chief, the detectives, even the mayor, to say, here's what we're looking at doing, is a slap in the face to them, because they still have to work with the district attorney. They still have to work with the state prosecutor. And quite frankly, if I was a defense attorney in the city of Chicago right now in Cook County, and I had a client that was going up on charges, I would say, hey, you guys gave this deal to Jussie Smollett. Why can't my client get this? Why? Because he has money? Or, oh, he was an outstanding citizen in the community? We need answers to this. And just the fact to say, well, we're going to drop this without prosecution is not an answer for anybody. Well, they did say, in fairness, Amy, that well, this doesn't exonerate him. Well, if it didn't exonerate him, let him go through the process, let him go through the court system and be found either innocent or guilty.
There were 16 counts brought up against him. After all these weeks and weeks of people getting on Twitter and people in the media, oh, the mainstream media loved this because bad white guys in MAGA hats were mean to this guy. And it was trending on Twitter everywhere. That's all they could talk about. And so now the name Jussie Smollett is known. But before we get, because there are some federal charges that could happen because he allegedly sent a fake letter to himself on the set. And when you use the federal, you know, the U.S. mail system, that brings the feds into it. So that could happen. I want to ask you about that in a minute. But I just don't know how these 16 charges could just sort of go away, because Kim Fox says so. The police, the superintendent and the mayor, they are furious. They said they did their due diligence and they had the facts to back it up. And it was clear that the grand jury wanted this case to proceed.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm befuddled by this because you wasted the grand jury's time. I mean, you have to get these people in to be on a grand jury. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of not only man hours, but dollars that the Chicago police gave to this case, getting down to the truth. And then all of a sudden, well, you know, we're just going to excuse what he did. And you know, I watched his press conference, and the thing that got me, Amy, is he says, I've been truthful from the whole beginning of this thing. No, you haven't, because when you went on Good Morning America and you described what you saw and you did this and you said it was definitely white men that did this, you knew it was these two brothers that you hired to do this. And you knew you went to the police department and lied. And that's why you wanted them to turn their body cams off when they responded to your house. So for him to go on the air and say, well, I've been truthful, and for his attorney to go on the air and say, well, we have nothing to say to Chicago Police Department because they should have let this go to trial or find the evidence instead of, you know, blaming this guy in the media. Well, they did find the evidence, and that's why they charged him with 16 counts of filing a false police report. But I guess that doesn't matter if you got the right money and the right attorney.
So Kim Fox says she's dropping charges. The police and the mayor, let's just face it, are mad as hell. They said they had everything against this guy. Do they have any recourse, or is it just done?
Well, they can go after him civilly. I don't know if they will or not. You know, if the charges were dropped, they can reconvene another grand jury to try to get those charges reinstated. But I think we'll get right back to where we were. So, quite frankly, I would go after him civilly and say, hey, you owe us X amount of dollars for the man hours we wasted on this big hoax. There's nothing that says they can't do that as citizens and as that police department to say, we're going to sue you civilly for wasting our time and the taxpayer money to pay for this investigation. And let's not forget, he's not out of the water yet because he still has those federal mail fraud charges, which, you know, I don't know if his attorney can get to the feds. I highly doubt it, but the feds take charges like this very seriously, so Jussie Smollett is definitely not out of the water yet.
So Kim Fox, when she went on the air today, she criticized the police for trying this case in the media somewhat when someone said, do you have anything to say to the police? And she offered that. And Smollett, again, let's reiterate, he said, I'm innocent of all these things, which is just shocking because the police and Rahm Emanuel were just like, can you just apologize? So I guess the next thing is, and we appreciate you coming on here, Vince, but the next thing is to see what the feds do regarding this letter he allegedly sent in the mail to himself, because that brings the feds in and maybe they won't drop it, as you say. Vincent, will you come back and keep us posted on this?
Absolutely, Amy, anytime.
Author of Playbook to a Murder, private investigator and author, and we're so glad to have him here on America Trends.
Come on. Come on.
some sights and sounds from the Pet Collective, some of the best viral pet video of the month. We love to bring it to you here on America Trends, on the U2 America TV network, and on BizTalk Radio. Thank you so very much to our guest for tonight, Tom DelVaccaro of Political Vanguard, author of The Divided Era, talking about, well, the House failed to override Trump's veto today, and the Mueller probe and all these things. And we always love to have Tom come on and talk about all the political headlines. Dr. Joel Nitzkin was talking about the latest push to eliminate flavored e-cigarettes. And, you know, some of the states have gotten in on the act, and now the FDA has a few things to say. So we'll have him keep us up to date on what's going on. Vincent Hill is an author and former PI and anchor at the Law and Crime Network. Jussie Smollett had all charges against him dropped today by the state's attorney in Chicago. Police and Mayor Rahm Emanuel say this is just no good. All 16 charges, he could have done jail time. But we will see what happens next. Jussie Smollett, an actor on Empire, said two men approached him in MAGA hats and said this is MAGA country and assaulted him during the polar vortex early morning hours in late January. But he is still facing federal charges, perhaps because he sent, allegedly, a letter to himself, a letter using the mail system, threatening himself and with some sort of thing to the set of Empire. So this story will continue. Finally, tonight, we want to give you a look at something that will bring you probably a few laughs. It's an Amazon movie, and it is called Late Night. It's starring Emma Thompson and Mindy Kaling. Hits theaters June 7th, and here's a look.
I've spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly because you tread on my dreams.
What?
I'm in a single-income household, and Jen and I just had our second baby. I think it's time for a raise.
I can't give you a raise, Gabe. It's like giving a raise to a drug addict.
My child's like a drug problem.
You're fired. You're fired, obviously.
Oh, you must be McCreary.
Oh, wow.
You're fired.
She's coming back!
She's coming back.
She's coming back!
Push me.
Who are you?
I'm Molly. Mm-hmm. I'm a new writer.
You want to sit down?
Okay.
That's where metal sits.
Could you sit down, please?
Oh, I'll just use this trash can. There's, you know, there's hardly any trash in it at all. Oh, it's kind of comfortable, better than a chair.
That's our show, everyone.
I came to tell you this year is your last.
What?
They can't replace you if everyone loves you.
Do none of you understand what is at stake here? I am being replaced.
Think about why the show is bad and come up with ways to fix it.
I wish I was a woman of color so I could just get any job I want.
We talked about this, you can't say that.
I know what everyone thinks of me, but just because I was lucky enough to get this job doesn't mean I'm stupid enough to lose it.
What exactly is wrong with my bits?
You're a little old and a little white.
What can I do about that?
I have some jokes for the monologue. I shouldn't do this in an English accent, should I?
No.
Watch me!
This is your show. It's an expression of who you are.
How would you describe Molly?
She said I was the vibrant splash of color on the gray canvas of our writing staff. I mean, whoosh.
I need you, Molly. I need your pushiness and lack of boundaries.
You love me.
No, I didn't say that. No.
I mean, not in those words, but you...
No, I didn't say it in any of those words.
Watch me